We, like the disciples, find ourselves asking a question. What does the future hold, Jesus? What's the next great thing you're going to do? What's ahead for us? We've just come through a couple of months of thinking and praying and making a decision about our congregational future, about its pastor, and also about kind of the priorities. And in local church conference about 3 weeks ago, we gave a good deal of attention to what's ahead. But I'd like for us to hear that thinking through the frame of the words of Jesus as he described what the future indeed held for his disciples and what the future indeed holds for all of the disciples. Enter into the story with me, if you would, as we hear it read.
Good morning, church. Jesus spoke in parables, words that describe what his kingdom would truly be like. Hear the gospel from Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Jesus said, "It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
I like to imagine that was Jesus being on the hill. He and his disciples were all seated. And just like children love, it was story time. It was casual time. So you'll permit me to sit with you as we think about the story and the elements in it, because just as in Jesus' time, we're invited to enter into that story, imagining ourselves within it. And as is true with every parable, certain things stand for clearly certain things, and others are left unspoken, that the Spirit may lead us to fill in the blanks. Here's some things that I hear when I hear the story, and maybe you heard them too. First, there's a master. This is the one who owns and directs all things. Surely Jesus must be talking about the Lord himself. For Jesus has already said that he's been given all things by the Father and that they're under his control, or at least they will be. Surely Jesus is trying to tell us that he's the master of all the things. And maybe the servants are us, people who've come into the kingdom because we've been bought in, as it were. We are owned. We have been bought with a price. And it is our privilege to enjoy the protection of the house because we're part of the household. We are indeed God's servants, all of us who've come to him in faith. And in this story, there are talents. We don't really use that term much in the same way as they did then, but when we think of talents, we think of abilities, like people who have musical skills, or people who have an ability to get things done, or people who can influence others and speak very well, or even people who have technical knowledge that they've learned from years of diligent study that we are amazed we could never figure that out. But it also means people who have means. A talent is a resource, not just financial, as clearly it is in this story, but a talent is everything that one has at their disposal, internally or externally, to do something new. It's a creative power, really, and it's a good thing to have resources, isn't it? Because when you have resources, you have options. You can create new solutions to the problems around you. So there's three servants who are given talents. Maybe we're like them. And then there's this risk element. The master just gives them these things. He doesn't tell them exactly how to use them. He doesn't give directives about what choices they could make with these things. He just leaves it out there to see what they'll come up with on their own. Kind of like we give Legos to a three-year-old and we watch to see what they'll create. Kind of like we give a child an opportunity to go somewhere and we watch to see what they'll do and how long they'll be gone and how that'll play. Or sometimes like an employer gives us a file to work on to see how we can manage it, to see if we're up for it. Or maybe a family member bequeaths us something and says, make good use of this, because I can't think of what to do with it. There's a risk involved. And I can't help but notice that each of these, well, the first two servants, they just put it out there. Now, maybe you're risk averse. Maybe you're a person who feels like, yeah, I'm kind of like the third servant. I want to make sure it's safe before I just go throwing it out there, because once you put it out there, it's gone, and then I'm going to be so embarrassed if I lose everything for the master. But the two servants, they don't think about that at all. They think about, what can I do? What can I create? What can we start? What cool thing can develop here? I admire their boldness. Maybe you're like them. Maybe you're a servant who's really bold and is really to put it out there and see where it takes you, to spend the money or give the time or put in the efforts to a relationship or a project or a new thing for your kids. I don't know, but maybe you like risk, and maybe the thrill of seeing where it will take you makes you a real entrepreneur. But some aren't, and now it's almost like Jesus is condemning those of us who aren't, isn't it? Jesus is telling a story to tell us what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is for the bold. The kingdom of God is to be put out there and risked. It means you don't just hover and hold on to what the master has entrusted with you. It's what you just give away to see where it leads. I don't know, Jesus, that seems a bit risque to me, but Let's think about this for what it means for us collectively as a congregation, shall we? I'd like to suggest to you that there are four talents that the Master has entrusted us with. One, position and a place. We own a spot that's at the 7100 block of Kennedy Road, where it veers slightly to the east, that can be clearly seen from the corner of Steeles and Kennedy. In fact, as soon as you tell people, oh, I go to the church, it's the one by, oh yeah, that one, that red A, have you had that happen to you? You have a resource. It's a pretty unique position. It was a gift that God gave the people who came before us a few decades ago. Some of you were still here then. You knew God had given you a talent. It was an amazing resource, and God was putting it out there for you to put it out there for everybody else. The second thing that God gives is a facility. I've seen people come through and say, you have a gym? And you have classrooms? And a kitchen? And this beautiful, and stain, oh my goodness, this place is beautiful. You really have something here. You've got quite a resource. Our church doesn't have that. Our church couldn't afford to put that up. Yeah, you got more than just a space. You've got a resource that's a facility. And in recent years, your trustees have said, let's put it out there. Let's let other people in. Let's see what we can do to spread it around and see how many people can use it. There's people here every day, every night. In fact, we kind of got to up the security a little bit because it's getting a bit crazy. People always coming and going. God help us remember to lock the doors and turn the lights off every night. But, hey, we're putting it out there. The third thing that God has given us, you could say, is wisdom. A lot of us, let's be honest, a lot of us are in the second half of life. I'm still tottering in the middle, but the majority of you sitting in this room with me right now are beyond me in years and wisdom. You have a lot of insight, a lot of ability to see how things could be based on how things work in this world. And you know what it's like to move to this country and make your way and fight for your stuff and raise your kids and do that whole thing called life. Wisdom is a resource. It's a talent that we have a particularly strong measure of. Do you see that? If you don't, look around the room. I'll bet you see more gray hair like I have than you see other colors. But some of you color your hair, so you're out. You're playing a game here. But we know you're wiser than your youthful appearance may let on. The fourth talent I'd like to suggest that we have is diversity. I've had people say, you have so many people who come to your church from so many different places. That's amazing. I see different racial groups. I know they're from different countries. Even the ones who look the same, they claim they're from very different places. Yeah. And that's a unique resource. In fact, that's a kingdom resource, because one day in the kingdom of heaven, that's exactly what it will look like. And most people in most churches don't have that talent. They don't have that resource visibly accessible to them, that perspective to share. They don't get the global vision of how the kingdom can be. They just have a little microcosm of their pretty much one culture group. But how cool it is that we have that as a resource too. Okay, so maybe we have some talents. Maybe we have four talents that are very unique to us, that are indeed gifts of God. The question is, what does this mean for us, and where is the kingdom of God going, and how in the world are we going to put it out there? Well, let's take this bird by the throat, shall we? We are in a space of land at the 7100 block of Kennedy Road, just north of Steeles. And the fact is, during the last 15 to 20 years, God has brought a whole host of people here who don't look like the vast majority of us. Go outside. Maybe you'll see the sign that in a couple of weeks, the Taste of Asia Festival is going to happen. And this time, it's not going to be 2 days, it's going to be 3 days. Maybe you notice if you drive down the neighborhood streets that most all of the faces there look like they know a language you and I don't know and would be a bit intimidated with if we had to speak it. but you know it. So lucky you. But here's the deal. God is bringing people to this neighborhood because he wants to connect them with this area, this place, this talent, and maybe God wants them to access this space too. Here's the deal. The neighborhood is 95% Mandarin-speaking Chinese, and we're about 1.5% Mandarin-speaking Chinese. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that in order to put it out there a little bit further, we're going to have to learn a little bit more Mandarin Chinese, or at least learn how to do something that's a little bit more comfortable to people who come from that culture group. Now, let's be realistic about what's going down. Maybe you've read the newspaper. See this little building on top of the O in Our Neighbors? That's where you're sitting right now. See that big squarish building near the center? That's the Pacific Mall in all of its 2.5-story glory. See that mammoth gargantuan complex behind it? That's what's just been approved by the city of Markham. That's 4.5, 5 stories tall, connected to 2 skyscraper condos and directly connected to the GO train station. And guess who's going to move into it? It may be called the Remington Group, but here's the deal. Shanghai is moving in, my friends, at a greater and greater rate than we've ever seen now. And the deal is, this is what's happening in this space. And for whatever reason, this is what God would like to happen in this space. God wants an outpost for the kingdom of his own dear son, of the gospel, to be in this intersection, because as trade and energy and population intensifies, as this thing starts to get torn down and that thing starts to get built, and look out that door and you'll see all the resources already being accumulated right along the side of the railroad track, ready for the demolition of what's there now. Shanghai is coming. And God is interested that the talents that we have, that we put them out there and see what we can draw back in for the kingdom. The next thing I'd like to talk about is this facility. It's now 30 years old, 1987, 2017, do the math. It's 30 years old. And your trustees are doing a beautiful job of keeping it up. And there's so much that takes place in here, and I'm so glad, like I said earlier, that the group of trustees that have been in those slots that you've elected for the past 5, 6, 7 years have had it of the mind that we should just keep opening the doors to do more stuff. Because, let's be honest, more than half of you in this room won't come any other time except Sunday morning. And as much as we've tried to create things for you to come to on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights and Thursday mornings and Friday nights and all the other times, no thank you, I'll be there on Sunday morning. A talent buried in the sand. But God says, put it out there. Jesus says, I want things to happen in here all the time. Things that remind people that there's something more than this world in this world. And so we do. And the beautiful thing is, as we've been faithful to invest that talent, we've become a center for Wesleyan ministry. There's a Korean church that's going to meet in that room right over there starting in about a half hour, as they do every Sunday. There's a Tamil congregation that was completely independent that came here just a few years ago, a year and a half ago, really, and now they're talking about what it means to become fully integrated into the Wesleyan church and its structure and its authority. And that couldn't have happened because we talked them into it. It happened because we said, we're going to invest that talent. We're going to put it out there. We're going to see what happens. And now they're so grateful to be a part of this thing called Wesleyan Methodism that they've put it right in their name, and they want to learn how to move into this process. What a beautiful thing it is when we decide we're going to invest the talent in the world and see where it takes us, and indeed it's taking us somewhere. Oh, we were worried at first. Well, they'll take over. You know that group. They're so strong and forceful, they'll just push us right out. Oh, how we wanted to bury that talent in the sand and make sure no one else had access to it, but God said, put it out there. And thankfully, we had the clarity to do it. And indeed, look how it's played. Have you missed anything? Have you been pushed out of anything? Have you missed your opportunity to be in worship because of those people? No. Because that's not how it works in the kingdom. The next resource we have is wisdom. Many experiences, many insights. I make a point to listen to you, to knock on your door, pull your sleeve, shake your hand, and hold you and ask you, how is it really going? And some of you tell me stories, maybe stories of decades ago, like our brother, Don, or stories of what happened just last week. But you have insights to share. And indeed, that's what church is meant to be. Indeed, it's a place where relationship connections happen. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This talent isn't really being utilized, divested, put out there very much because we're just so busy. We really don't have time to come back any other time. And, oh, we can't stay after church on Sunday because that's our family time. Well, I don't want to sit with those people at that table at the social because, you know, I'm not comfortable with them. I'm comfortable with my people. And we bury that talent in the sand. And the kingdom of God is stifled. And God says, you foolish, wicked servant. You knew that I would invest in other things that are not at all like you imagined, and you still kept it to yourself. But it's my personal private business. You don't understand. I come from a culture where people gossip, and I don't want to put myself out there. And God says, I don't care where you came from. It's about where you're going. And where you're going is about investing in other people, particularly people who are younger than yourself, who have no wisdom in this world, because this culture tells them whatever your heart tells you, you should follow and believe, which is utter foolishness and destruction. So I ask you, friends, are you willing to share your experience with your young adults who yet remain among us? Because the truth is, we've been bleeding them for years. Your children don't come to church here. Your grandchildren don't come to church here once you can't bring them anymore. And the fact is, it grieves the heart of God that this talent is being squandered. Because we won't stay, and we won't invest, and we won't take time for the younger among us who desperately want to be involved in conversation. Oh, yes, they think they have all the answers because they have their diploma and their degree, but they're hungering for you to invest in them, to be a friend to them, to share your lives with them. And once in a while, we've made a few little weak attempts to pull that together, but we really don't have time for that, do we? God help us to put ourselves out there. You'll notice there's an insert in your bulletin. I really feel like the Lord is saying to us, I want you to stick around on summer Sunday afternoons. I want you to take time to get to know and care and love each other. I want you to just make the effort to take another 20, 30 minutes out of your crazy family schedule for Sunday and make it about my family instead of yours. And so you'll see that starting next Sunday and for the next six after that, we're going to have stick around Sunday summer socials of various kinds. I hope you'll make an effort to stick. The first one's fun, because it's barbecue, tastes awesome, so you're the loser if you leave. But God wants you to put yourself out there and not just sit by your two favorite friends or by your family group, but to put yourself out there. The last thing I want to say about this is we as a church need to be more intentional about how we're doing things that create a young adult ministry. Even a youth ministry, all of these younger ones who are coming up against, alongside of us, not against, alongside of us. Indeed, how good it would be. Indeed, how good it would be as we make space for them in our universe. The last talent that God has placed in our arms is diversity. Our mission statement says we seek to honor God with a variety of forms, and it lists praise and worship and learning opportunities and service and outreach, and we do a lot of different things, a lot of very different things. And my apology for forgetting to announce the sunrise service last Sunday. I can't believe that escaped me, but I can only fit so many things in my head, and I've reached the max. But anyway, thank you for those of you who went anyway, and God bless you for it. It seems to be that God wants us to be indeed a diverse people, because that's what the kingdom is creating. And regardless of how many of those Tamil people who come in the afternoon, and regardless of how many of those Mandarin Asian people may find their way into our fellowship, the truth is God will always preserve a diversity in his kingdom, because that's where it's going. That's really where it's going if we're open-hearted enough to invest ourselves and say, well, that church is leaving me behind, so I'm leaving it. No, we can do so much better than that. So much better than that. And I'm so excited about what God is saying as I read this parable and reread it day after day. And I want to invite you this week to read this parable over and over again and see what it is that God may say to you. Maybe he'll trigger something in your reading that sounds somewhat similar to some of this. Maybe he'll say something different. But as we sit at Olivet's mountainside with Jesus, and we take in his words about what's coming in the future. It's coming. It's coming, especially for the bold who put what they've got out there and give it away to see where it will lead them, to see how vulnerable they can make themselves to the Holy Spirit's moving. And so I guess that leads us to this. How will we respond? Will we strive to make connections with people younger than ourselves, people older than ourselves, people more Asian than ourselves? Will we share the experiences that life has given us? Will we share how our hearts are breaking with someone else in the church and not worry about, oh, how my personal boundaries are going to be violated? Will we put ourselves out there and say, I'm looking for God's help. Would you pray with me? I want to share what the Lord did for me today. I want to testify. Back when churches were strong, there was a whole lot of that going on, and I'd like to suggest that it really is a sign of strength, and our fear keeps us from it. Notice that that's what the servant with one talent said. He said, I knew that you were a hard master, harvesting where you don't sow, but I was afraid. Boom! You knew it was going to fall apart at that moment, because that servant let fear control him rather than boldness to see what God could do. There are so many reasons for you not to take these things seriously, because it's really safer to keep your personal boundaries and just be a Sunday morning only part of Millikan Church. But that's not the path that Jesus is inviting us to take. But Pastor George, maybe we'll put ourselves out there and we'll get burned. Maybe they'll take over. Maybe we'll lose everything. Maybe we will, but we can't keep it anyway, so what's the point? So, connect? Will I share? Will I serve? Maybe in one of these Sunday afternoon fellowships to start with. Maybe I'll volunteer to take care of the snacks that day. Maybe I'll be a part of helping with the setup on one of those. I don't know. I'm putting it out there. I haven't even planned this. The staff doesn't even know this is coming. So I want to practice what I'm preaching, friends. I really want to see you in the gym on Sunday afternoons. I really want to hear your stories. I want to really pray with you in moments. I'm not going to hang around the back and have a cup of coffee and pretend everything's great. I'm going to move over to the gym. I'm going to sit at a giant table, and I hope you'll come sit with me today. As soon as the benediction's done, you won't see me here. Come over there. I've gotten a lot of kickback about why we move the snacks to the gym. Well, listen up, folks. This is what it's about. It's about building community. It's about sitting down together and saying, I need to get to know you, not just smile, glad hand you, and walk out with my coffee because I got my thing and I'm done. If that's all you want in a church, that's all you'll ever have. And the master will say, But you knew. You knew that I was a hard master. You knew that I wanted to build where I hadn't planted. You knew that I wanted to harvest. Why? Why were you so afraid? Why did you do that vile thing? The kingdom of God is on the move, and it could move through you, servant of God. Hear the words of Jesus. Be bold. Put yourself out there. Make time. Serve. Our musicians are coming. We're going to sing a song about Jesus leading us on. I hope it'll be your heart's open cry to God to say, I'm going to make time. I'll stick around. I'll engage. I'll give myself and every resource I have, as small as it may seem to me. Jesus, lead on. Oh, how I long to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you long for that too? Don't you long for the day when Jesus might say to you, way to put yourself out there, way to be bold, way to invest it to the outside world where you don't know what's going to happen, way to give it away. I will return everything. You just divest.